Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Monday morning, October 10th, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. This is a podcast that is dedicated to the public reading of the Word of God, along with the reading of some prayers, some Puritan prayers, and a devotion each morning. Our prayers come out of the Valley of Vision, which is a collection of Puritan prayers. Our devotion comes from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. We do the morning devotion. And our scripture reading comes, we're using Robert Murray McShane's Read the Bible in a Year plan that he created for his congregation back in the 19th century. We're reading through each day's reading, and the translation we're using is the Legacy Standard Bible. We use that version because it is the most textual, at this time, it is the most textually accurate to the earliest manuscripts that we have of the text. So sometimes this podcast also contains my input on particular things going on in the world, particular things theologically. I definitely do my best to ensure that what I say here is driven from a biblical worldview, and is given to you in a biblical manner, and it's not just myself ranting and railing on opinions, which can be tough because sometimes I just want to rant and rave, but that's not the godly or the biblical way to approach this. So I will do my best, and as have been doing my best, to bring you the biblical viewpoint on certain topics and issues. So let's go ahead and let's get started this morning. The first of our prayers, as has been our practice, we start with two standard prayers each day. They are Resting on God and Grace in Trials. So let's go ahead with Resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. And now grace and trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful, even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me. for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee. For Jesus' sake, amen. And now our morning prayer of the day, second day morning, God over all. O God, all-sufficient, thou hast made and upholdest all things by the word of thy power. Darkness is thy pavilion. Thou walkest on the wings of the wind. All nations are nothing before thee. One generation succeeds another, and we hasten back to the dust. The heavens we behold will vanish away, like the clouds that cover them. The earth we tread on will dissolve as a morning dream. But thou, unchangeable and incorruptible, art forever and ever. God over all, blessed eternally. Infinitely great and glorious art thou. We are thy offspring and thy care. Thy hands have made and fashioned us. Thou hast watched over us with more than parental love, more than maternal tenderness. Thou hast holden our soul in life, and not suffered our feet to be moved. Thy divine power has given us all things necessary for life and godliness. Let us bless thee at all times, and forget not how thou hast forgiven our iniquities, healed our diseases, redeemed our lives from destruction, crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfied our mouths with good things, renewed our youth like the eagles. May thy holy scriptures govern every part of our lives and regulate the discharge of all our duties, so that we may adorn thy doctrine in all things. Amen. All right, and I should have said before we started, the links to each of these where you can read them online are in the show notes, so you can read along with me if that helps you. I've also included in there links to where you can get hard copies of the Valley of Vision, of Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and of the Legacy Standard Bible. And I would definitely encourage you to acquire hard copies of each of these. It's definitely worthwhile. The devotional we do each morning, we're doing the morning devotional for that day. There's an evening devotional as well. And I would definitely encourage you to read that by yourself or with your family. The same with the second day morning prayer, the daily morning prayer. There's an evening prayer as well. And I would definitely encourage you to use that to get yourself in a prayerful frame of mind as you go to pray in the evening. We are called to pray continuously. So the more we can do to get ourselves into a prayerful frame of mind, and these Puritan prayers are a great way to do that. These were great prayers. Not to sound too goofy, but these were great prayers, the Puritans were, as they were great studiers of the Word of God. So it's very, very important. They provide a very good example for us and where we should be. Not that I'm one that, though I have been in the past, to look back at the past and go, oh, this is such a greater time. No, not necessarily. However, as Christians, it definitely behooves us to hearken back to those Puritans as an example of how we should strive to be, because they were very, very, very focused on God and on personal holiness, and on doing all they could to be witnesses to a faith in Jesus Christ to the world. All right, so our devotion for the day, it is the morning, October 10th article of Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. The text for today, and obviously the computer thing is kind of acting up here, so I had to go look it up somewhere else. So the text for the for today is actually out of Jude 24. The text I read yesterday was not even close to the right one. So I don't know what's happening on this website where the link is. But the actual text for today is from Jude 24. The text is faultless before the presence of his glory. Okay. Revolve in your mind. Yeah, revolve in your mind that wondrous word, faultless. We are far off from it now. But as our Lord never stops short of perfection in his work of love, we shall reach it one day. The Savior, who will keep his people to the end, will also present them at last to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but holy and without blemish. All the jewels in the Savior's crown are of the first water and without a single flaw. All the maids of honor who attend the Lamb's wife are pure virgins, without spot or stain. But how will Jesus make us faultless? He will wash us from our sins in his own blood until we are white and fair as God's purest angel, and we shall be clothed in his righteousness, that righteousness which makes the saint who wears it positively faultless, yea, perfect in the sight of God. We shall be unblameable and unreprovable, even in his eyes. His law will not only have no charge against us, but it will be magnified in us. Moreover, the work of the Holy Spirit within us will be altogether complete. He will make us so perfectly holy that we shall have no lingering tendency to sin. Judgment, memory, will, every power and passion shall be emancipated from the thraldom of evil. We shall be holy even as God is holy, and in his presence we shall dwell forever. Saints will not be out of place in heaven. Their beauty will be as great as that of the place prepared for them. Oh, the rapture of that hour, when the everlasting doors shall be lifted up, and we, being made meet for the inheritance, shall dwell with the saints in light. Sin gone, Satan shut out, temptation passed forever, and ourselves faultless before God. This will be heaven indeed. Let us be joyful now as we rehearse the song of eternal praise, so soon to roll forth in full chorus from all the blood-washed host. Let us copy David's exulting before the ark as a prelude to our ecstasies before the throne. All right, take a quick drink of my coffee here. All right, let's get into our reading this morning. Our scripture reading is 1 Kings 13, Philippians 4, Ezekiel 43, Psalm 95, and Psalm 96. So 1 Kings 13. Now behold, there came a man of God from Judah to Bethel by the word of Yahweh, while Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar by the word of Yahweh and said, O altar, altar, thus says Yahweh, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David. Josiah is his name, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. Then he gave a miraculous sign the same day, saying, This is the miraculous sign which Yahweh has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be torn apart, and the ashes which are on it shall be poured out. Now it happened that when the king heard the word of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, Seize him. But his hand which he stretched out against him dried up, so that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar also was torn apart, and the ashes were poured out from the altar, according to the miraculous sign which the man of God had given by the word of Yahweh. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, Please entreat Yahweh your God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated Yahweh, and the king's hand was restored to him, and it became as it was before. Then the king said to the man of God, Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a gift. But the man of God said to the king, If you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of Yahweh, saying, You shall eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return by the way which you came. So he went another way, and did not return by the way which he came to Bethel. Now an old prophet was living in Bethel, and his sons came and recounted to him all the work which the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken to the king, these also they recounted to their father. And their father said to them, "Which way did he go?" And his sons had seen the way which the man of God, who came from Judah, had gone. Then he said to his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me." So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode away on it. So he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, "Are you the man of God who came from Judah?" And he said, "I am." Then he said to him, "Come home with me and eat bread." And he said, "I cannot return with you, nor go with you, nor will I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For a word came to me by the word of Yahweh, 'You shall eat no bread nor drink water there. Do not return by going the way which you came.'" And he said to him, "I also am a prophet like you, and an angel spoke to me by the word of Yahweh, saying, 'Bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water.' But he dealt falsely with him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened, as they were sitting down at the table, that the word of Yahweh came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he called out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, 'Thus says Yahweh, because you have rebelled against the word of Yahweh and have not kept the commandment which Yahweh your God commanded you, but have returned and eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which he said to you, "Eat no bread and drink no water," your body shall not come to the grave of your fathers.' Now it happened, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him, for the prophet whom he had brought back. Then he went, and on the way a lion met him and put him to death, and his body was thrown on the road, with the donkey standing beside it. The lion also was standing beside the body. And behold, men passed by and saw the body thrown on the road, and the lion standing beside the body. So they came and spoke about it in the city where the old prophet lived. Then the prophet who brought him back from the way heard it and said, "It is the man of God who rebelled against the command of Yahweh. Therefore Yahweh has given him to the lion, which has mauled him and put him to death, according to the word of Yahweh which he spoke to him." Then he spoke to his son, saying, "Saddle the donkey for me." And they saddled it. And he went and found his body thrown on the road, with the donkey and the lion standing beside the body. The lion had not eaten the body, nor mauled the donkey. So the prophet took up the body of the man of God, and laid it on the donkey, and brought it back. And he came to the city of the old prophet to mourn and to bury him. He laid his body in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." Now it happened, after he had buried him, that he spoke to his sons, saying, "When I die, you shall bury me in the grave in which the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the word shall surely happen, which he cried by the word of Yahweh against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria." After this event, Jeroboam did not return from his evil way, but he returned and made priests of the high places from among all the people. Any who delighted to be so, he ordained. So they became priests of the high places. And this event became sin to the house of Jeroboam, even to blot it out and destroy it from off the face of the earth. All right, Philippians 4. Therefore, my brothers, loved and longed for, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to think the same way in the Lord. Indeed, I ask you also, genuine companion, help these women who have contended together alongside of me in the gospel, with also Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your considerate spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is dignified, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, consider these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received, that now at last you have revived thinking about me. Indeed, you were thinking about me before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in abundance. In any and all things, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to fellowship with me in my affliction. And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church fellowshipped with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the fruit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I have been filled, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will fulfill all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. All right, Ezekiel 43. Then he led me to the gate facing toward the east. And behold, the glory of God, of the God of Israel, was coming from the way of the east. And his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. And it was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when he came to bring the city to ruin. And the visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of Yahweh came into the house by the way of the gate facing toward the east. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of Yahweh filled the house. Then I heard one speaking to me from the house while a man was standing beside him. He said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell among the sons of Israel forever. And the house of Israel will not again defile my holy name. Neither they nor their kings, by their harlotry and by the corpses of their kings when they die, by putting their threshold by my threshold, and their doorpost beside my doorpost, with only the wall between me and them. And they have defiled my holy name by their abominations which they have done, so I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their harlotry and the corpses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell among them forever. As for you, son of man, describe the house of Yahweh to the house of Israel, that they may feel dishonor for their iniquities, and let them measure the plan. If they feel dishonor for all that they have done, make known to them the design of the house, its structure, its exits, its entrances, all its designs, all its statutes, and all its laws, and write it in their sight, so that they may keep its whole design and all its statutes and do them. This is the law of the house, within its entire boundary, on top of the mountain all around, shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. And these are the measurements of the altar by cubits, the cubit being a cubit and a hand breadth. The base shall be a cubit, and the width a cubit, and its border on its edge round about one span, and this shall be the height of the base of the altar. And from the base on the ground to the lower ledge shall be 2 cubits, and the width 1 cubit, and from the smaller ledge to the larger ledge shall be 4 cubits, and the width 1 cubit. And the altar hearth shall be 4 cubits, and from the altar hearth shall extend upwards 4 horns. Now the altar hearth shall be 12 cubits long by 12 wide, square in its 4 sides. The ledge shall be 14 cubits long by 14 wide in its 4 sides. The border around it shall be 1/2 cubit, and its base shall be a cubit round about, and its steps shall face the east. And he said to me, Son of man, thus says Lord Yahweh, these are the statutes for the altar on the day it is made, to offer burnt offerings on it, and to splash blood on it. And you shall give to the Levitical priests, who are from the seed of Zadok, who draw near to me, to minister to me, declares Lord Yahweh, a bull from the herd for a sin offering. You shall also take some of its blood, and put it on its four horns, and on the four corners of the ledge, and on the border round about. Thus you shall purify it, and make atonement for it. And you shall take the bull for the sin offering, and it shall be burned in the appointed place of the house, outside the sanctuary. Now on the second day, you shall bring near a male goat without blemish for a sin offering, and they shall purify the altar as they purified it with the bull. When you have finished purifying it, you shall present a bull from the herd without blemish, and a ram without blemish from the flock, and you shall bring them near before Yahweh, and the priest shall throw salt on them, and they shall offer them up as a burnt offering to Yahweh. For 7 days you shall offer daily a goat for a sin offering, also a bull from the herd and a ram from the flock without blemish shall be offered. For 7 days they shall make atonement for the altar and purify it, so shall they ordain it. So they will complete the days, and it shall be that on the 8th day and onward the priest shall offer on the altar your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, declares Lord Yahweh. Psalm 95. O come, let us sing for joy to Yahweh. Let us make a loud shout to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a loud shout to him with songs of praise. For Yahweh is a great God, and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, and in the day of Massa in the wilderness, as in the day of Massa in the wilderness. When your fathers tried me, they tested me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation, and said, they are a people who wander in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, they shall never enter into my rest. In Psalm 96, sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh, all the earth. Sing to Yahweh, bless his name. Proclaim good news of his salvation from day to day. Recount his glory among the nations, his wondrous deeds among all the peoples. For great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. He is more fearsome than all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But Yahweh made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to Yahweh, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory of his name. Lift up an offering and come into his courts. Worship Yahweh in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, Yahweh reigns. Indeed, the world is established. It will not be shaken. He will render justice to the peoples with iniquity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar as well as its fullness. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before Yahweh, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness, and the peoples in his faithfulness. All right, that's our reading for the day. All right, well, that's all of our reading for this morning. It's been wonderful to be able to get together with you this morning. I did want to let you know, since it's been an issue the last 2 weeks, and we did actually get it together and make it to church yesterday morning. And it was wonderful. Pastor Jay preached a wonderful, wonderful sermon, a very, very, very convicting sermon, very, very solid sermon on a subject that's very, very, very necessary, especially in this season of society, this season of our world, this season of what we here in America are going through. It was very, very critical, and it was very, it was very convicting to me. I sat there going, oh, I didn't think about it that way. Very, very good. And you know what? We even were able to get ourselves together. We actually went to an adult Bible study with them last night, and had a continuing discussion about what had been preached that morning, and was really, really, really edifying. It was very, very edifying to spend that time with our fellow believers. Very, very enjoyable. Met some wonderful people and very much enjoyed ourselves. And honestly couldn't get out of there. Poor brother Jay trying to definitely needed to get home, spend time with wife and family and all. And we're just standing around talking and wouldn't shut up. But it was a wonderful time to spend together. And so we were very, very blessed by that. And again, that's what comes. Like I've said before, you can't just sit there and watch it on YouTube. You can't just sit there and watch some live stream. We're to be about fellowshipping with our fellow believers. The scripture is very clear on that, that sitting at home, staring at the boob tube, even streaming a sermon is not the same thing. There is no such thing as streaming church. There isn't. And again, I've said it before, and so I'll say it again. I am not calling out people that have serious physical limitations and are unable to go. That's a very, very different thing. And I sympathize with them. And so I'm not, because I've had times when I could not physically go, as has my wife. And being able to still participate, even in just viewing, is better than nothing. But it is way too easy for us in this society. And I say us because I am the excuse master for why I don't want to bother to motivate myself to get going. It is way too easy in this society. And society gives us the excuses all the time. They're out there in the media and everything else as to why it's okay that we don't bother to go, whether to church or anything else. I mean, it's not just church, but, we've got to get beyond that. And I've said it before. I know wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ out there that have to travel an hour to an hour and a half one way to go to church every Sunday, but they do it. And I know gas is expensive. Believe me, I know. I am so blessed that the wife and I have stripped down to a single car that gets good gas mileage over those last 2 years, and that I'm working from home because I used to have to drive 20 miles one way, to work every morning and 5 days a week. That was just that were I still having to do that now, that would be an extreme detriment to my wife and I. So I'm not unsympathetic. But isn't your soul worth it? Isn't eternal life worth it? Isn't a saving faith in Christ worth that? Isn't being obedient to God worth that? We talked about it last night in Bible study. What do we believe in enough that we're willing to stand and die for it? Isn't your eternal soul important enough for you to be willing to stand and die for that, to participate, to spend time with your fellow saints, to spend time in the Word together, to spend time under solid preaching, whatever it takes to be there? Isn't that important enough for you to make that sacrifice? Isn't it important for me to make that sacrifice? And that's the thing, I make excuses all the time, and I really don't have an excuse. Where we're attending right now, 5 to 10 minutes down the road, we've got it easy. And I still find it hard not to make excuses. Where we were going before was maybe 5 minutes longer down the road the other direction. I would still make excuses. We've got to believe enough and be willing to be obedient enough, but to love God enough, to love Christ enough, to be obedient enough that we're going to make that sacrifice. We've got to be. That's what makes us different. That's what should make us different from the world. Part of it, there's a lot more. But we should stand out from the world. We should not stand there and stumble along like lemmings with everybody else running over the cliff all together. We've got to stand out from this world. We're called apart. If we are the body of Christ, we're the ecclesia. That's the Greek that they use, the ecclesia. We are the set apart ones. Not that we separate ourselves and live outside of society, but that our life within society is so very different that it stands out and it draws their attention. And even in that, can be a discipling method, can be an evangelistic method, that they see how different we are and they want to know why. That even with stuff going completely nuts, that we still show joy and love and peace, and they want to know why. They want to know where we got that, what drug we're taking, how we got there. And we give them the gospel. It's happened. I've read about it. I've seen it, where people that looked so different, because they were being imitators of Christ. They were being imitators of Paul. I'm sorry. They were being imitators of God, like Ephesians 5 says. They were being imitators of Paul, who was imitating Christ. And I forget which epistle he said that in. But they were truly looking different than this world. And we have to. And that's part of it, that we get up when everybody else is sitting around preparing for their Sunday morning football or their Sunday football or whatever else, that we're getting our behinds together, we're getting dressed, and we're getting down the road to church. And we're fellowshipping with our fellow saints, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've got to look different. We've got to look like that. All right, enough on my soapbox. Well, I hope you go out and have yourself a wonderful day. I definitely pray for you, that the peace of God would be with you, especially in this crazy, crazy, crazy world we're living in. And let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this time together this morning, for us to be able to share this time and exposing ourselves to prayer, the Puritan prayers, to the devotion we did, and our exposure to your word and your scripture. Dear Lord, we would pray that this time this morning would equip us, it would edify us, it would lift us up, and it would hedge up our ways so that our walk is more and more like that of your Son, that our personal holiness grows more and more, not to earn us away into heaven or any of those kind of things, but to show our true love and obedience to you so that we stand out in this world and we are a witness to your honor and glory. Dear Lord, please be with us as we go forward, that we would truly, truly, truly identify as the name of Christian. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you go have yourself a wonderful day. And as I say most days, and all you do today, do it for the glory of God. Have a good one. God bless.